Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we have something different and very special. I have a singer-songwriter live in the studio. To sing for us and to tell us more about herself and her songs, here is Emily Patterson. So welcome, Emily, and thank you for coming. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. In fine voice?
Yep.
I hope.
That's right, yep.
Could you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Where do you live at the moment and
yeah, sure.
What you're doing with yourself?
Yeah. I come from Adelaide College, which is down by the seafront in Saltcoats. Some of you all know about it.
That's the Bible College.
Yep, that's right, the Bible College. I'm a lecturer there. I also grew up there, though, because my dad was the director. My mum was the accountant. I went from there and did some drama college and things like that. Started writing songs when I was 12 years old. I went to Kyle's Hill Primary School, and it was originally by where the police station is, in Ockham Harvey, and then graduated and obviously went on and did my studies and things like that. So that's really me.
Were you born in Saltcoats?
No, I was born in Rochdale, which is why I have the English accent. My mum and dad were English, but funnily enough, when we all went to school, there was quite a few children in the Bible College, and when we all went to school, we adopted the Scottish accent. So when I speak to my friends, some of them will know me with a Scottish accent and some of them will know me with an English accent.
So you're bilingual? So,
yeah, with accents.
So are you married?
No, I'm not. I'm single.
I wouldn't ask your age, but roughly, just to give the listeners a rough idea.
I'm roughly 7 years older than 21.
All right. So you've been writing your own songs for a while now?
Yeah, since I was 12 years old.
So tonight we're going to have several songs. So what's your first one?
The first one I wrote when I was 14 years old. It's based on Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. And it's basically just called Waves. I wrote it because a friend of mine actually had this Bible verse from God and I wanted to give her a gift. So I put it into song for her, but through the years it's been a song that's really, really kept me in my walk with God and meant an awful lot to me.
The actual verse is roughly, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you.
And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, the flames will not burn you. And then a bit later on it says, I am your God and you are precious in my sight. Mm. And that's the chorus of the song.
It depends which translation you read, but I particularly like that verse. You are precious in my eyes and honoured, and I love you.
Mm-hmm.
So even if nobody else loves you, God loves you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But why did you call it Waves?
Because the first line starts with waves are strong. And also because through my life I've experienced high times and low times. And sometimes it can seem like the waves of life are going to literally overthrow us, you know, and you come to the end of yourself. Other times, waves of happiness and things like that. But the song talks about a stable God through the whole thing.
It wouldn't be something to do with the fact that where you live, the waves from the sea actually come up and touch the building you live
in. Yeah, quite often when I sing it, I sing a lot of my songs to the Lord. Quite often when I do that, I watch the sea, because the sea sometimes can be so peaceful, and other times, like you say, it goes right over the railway line and almost over into the college garden as well sometimes. So yeah, that's quite a picture really of what the song's about.
Right, you've put us in the mood for it. Let's hear it now.
Waves are strong and the wind is violent. The rapids are dangerous. There's a waterfall ahead. You feel scared, so alone, so helpless. But remember what your God has said. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. Though you walk through the fire, the flame shall not burn you. I am your God, and you are precious in my sight. Time's running out, the water is rising, night's coming in. As you go down, you shout out loud, yet no one seems to hear you. But remember what your God has done. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. Though you walk through the fire, the flame shall not burn you. I am your God, and you are precious in my sight. Fear not, for I am with you, and there is no other God but me. I am your creator, the one who formed you. I've called you by name, and now you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. And though you walk through the fire, the flame shall not burn you. I am your God, and you are precious in my sight. Though you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. And though you walk through the fire, the flame shall not burn you. I am your God, and you are precious in my sight. I am your God, and you are precious in my sight. So very precious in my sight.
So how did you get started in the songwriting line?
Quite funny, really. I was at a church and an older girl had wrote one song, and they sang it as a congregation, and there was a line in it I'd never heard, even though I was brought up in a Christian home. And it will sound strange, but the words were just "Precious Lord," and I probably had heard them, but they'd never jumped out at me at all. And in this song I just kept hearing "Precious Lord, Precious Lord," and then I had this burning desire to write a song. I didn't play the piano, I didn't play the guitar. I'd always wanted to play the piano, but there was a guitar sitting at the front of the church, so I snuck in after the church. I borrowed an old hymn book, and it had the guitar chords on the back. I learnt three and just wrote my first song, which was called "Precious Lord." It had three verses.
You started running. You started writing songs.
Yeah, when I was 12.
Rather than learn to play the instrument for a few years before.
No, I just wrote the songs. So I just strummed any old pattern. Even now, I've only ever had three guitar lessons. So it's all been self-taught, self-learning, and mainly, I mean, I can play other people's songs now quite well, but my songs are really the ones that I'm able to play the best, because, like you say, it hasn't really been about learning the guitar as much as being able to express what I feel inside of myself.
Yeah, it sort of blows the mind. As a non-musical person myself, I don't know how folk work out all these chords and string their strums, you know. But also, folk can't quite grasp creative writing. Where does the idea come from? And both the music and the words, it's like the snowflake arrives and then it melts, you know. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the process at all?
I've often tried to sit down and write a song without having anything burning within myself, and it's absolutely impossible. And yet, sometimes throughout the day, I'll maybe write two or three songs in a day, and it'll be totally different topics, and it's either what's happened to me or what I'm praying about or something that I'm feeling. When something like that happens, I find the song just comes. I mean, most of my songs I'll write in 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most. Occasionally, however, I've said to a friend, give me a topic and I'll write a song on it. And if it's a topic, say like peace, one of my friends said to me once, write me a song on peace, and I did that in 10 minutes. But it was something that means a lot to me. If you ask me to write a song on something that doesn't, I can't do it. So I think the methodical method of songwriting, I have no knowledge of whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I just express how I'm feeling inside, really.
So this next song you're going to do, what category does it come under then?
This one, it's called Merciful Man. And basically, I was thinking about the Lord's life on earth and how Jesus was so merciful at all different times. One of the things my dad, when he was alive, was very keen on was me getting married. And he used to say to me, you know, you need a man like this and you need a man like that. And I was thinking this day about how Jesus has always been to me the most merciful man ever. And it hasn't mattered what I've done, what I've said, what I've thought. He's always forgiven me, always been there. And basically, this song talks about his life on earth all the way through to the crucifixion and what he means to me.
But was this one of those 5 minute writing ones?
It was, yeah. Uh-huh. The backing took a lot longer. But originally with the guitar, yes, it was. It was just a 5-10 minute thing in the morning when I was praying.
Mm. Well, let's hear it now then. Merciful Man.
When I think of all the grit and the dirt you crossed to get to that well at Samaria, eyes fixed on love, heart in hand, moving destiny's plan, my merciful man. Your words spoke of love and compassion, truth was filled with conviction, knowing all I was feeling, your face was revealing a merciful stand. Holy man with open arms, reaching out into my heart, voice like truth, eyes of love, so steadfast, you come and lift me up, and I sing to you, I lift my voice in praise, gracious King. My soul.
blood pouring down, thorny crown, two rusty nails banged through merciful hands. There we mocked you, spat on you, and beat you. Then we whipped you and stripped you. Asked whatever did you do to deserve all you've been through our
For anyone who's just joined the programme, I'm interviewing Emily Patterson, local Saltcoats girl, singer-songwriter. I'm picking up, Emily, that your faith has a lot to do with your singing, songwriting stuff.
Yep.
It's pretty exclusively, is it, for Christian music that you do this?
I do some non-Christian stuff as well. I would say that probably 80% of the songs I write are definitely based on my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. The other 20%, there's probably little hints of it, but quite often I write songs and it's not really mentioned, because it's obviously, as Christians, we live in the world, you know, and we have so many different elements to our life, but the Lord seems to come into most of them. So I think that's reflected in my songwriting as well.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about your personal journey of faith, and what sort of a road have you been travelling?
Yeah, when I was 3 years old, I can't remember it, but I was told by my parents that I asked the Lord into my life. And obviously that was a very childhood experience. I was brought up in a Christian home and surrounded in the Bible College by Christians.
Your father was a minister,
yeah,
lecturer in a Bible College.
Yes, he was, yeah.
He was the founder of the Bible College.
He was, yeah. So, and also we live by faith, which means we pray every day for our money. There was nobody went out to work. Everything, you know, our work was the Bible College. And I was brought up seeing this as completely normal. Went to school and obviously had the biggest shock of my life, because life was so completely different outside the Bible College. And I think from there I began to lean on the Lord, even though I was young, because it was a tremendous difference for me. Suddenly people fought, and in the Bible College, if there was an argument, it was sorted out in 5 minutes. You know, people swore, and I came home one day and swore in the garden, had no idea if I'd said anything wrong because I'd never heard swearing before, and got soap in my mouth for it, and had a massive shock. You know, there were swear words, all different things that I'd never actually known anything about. Then, obviously, I grew up, I had friends, and at the age of 16, I was at a place where I knew the Lord, but I knew that I didn't know him in the way that other people knew him. And there was one meeting where I had a friend staying with me, and we were going to get a Chinese and watch a film, and I really, really felt we should go to the communion meeting, which was on downstairs in the Bible College at one of the conferences. So I thought this was because she was going to come to know God. So she was a non-Christian, so I dragged her down, which she wasn't happy about. But in that meeting, I can't remember what was said at all, but I remember looking round and feeling, God, I need you like these people have you, or else I've got nothing to really base this walk with you on. And afterwards, I had some prayer, and I can remember just crying and crying, and I could say nothing else but, Jesus, I just know I need you. I just know that I need you in my life. And I remember then going outside, and we have a white door at the college, a white gate. And I said to my friend, I can't explain it, but I feel like I'm as clean as that white gate. And I feel like the barrier, and I didn't realise there was one before, between me and God had gone. And, you know, the stars were there, but they weren't a barrier between me and God. I think it's something that is better felt than tell. So that's how my relationship with God continued. And then I had to face certain questions, which one of the questions is similar to the next song, actually. It's called Could It Be? And it's all about, can Jesus really be who people say he is? And it's Mary at the foot of the cross looking up saying, can this really be the Son of God, even though he died? And as I grew up and walked with the Lord, I had to face those questions myself. Instead of relying on my mum and dad, who had taught me this was always true, I had to decide whether that was really true or not. And I did it really by studying the scriptures and by walking with God and saying, God, I'm struggling with this little bit. You show me for yourself if this is true. Which is why I didn't put an answer to the end of this next song, because my brother Jonathan said to me, I think you should put an answer. I think the next chorus should say, this is the Son of God. And I said to him, no, I want to leave it open, because it's not really a song that I'm trying to say, hey, everybody, this is, but stop and consider, could he really be the Son of God? And if he is, what does that mean to you?
Well, let's hear the song, Could It Be? But we should explain that this song has a duet element, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. My brother Roger sings the song with me. He sings the main verses and I come in at the chorus. And Alison has arranged the music to this song for me with different instruments coming in and out, because that's obviously an element that I can't do. So Alison Ablam, who also worked at Adelaide College, she arranged the track for me to the music.
And
that I'd
in the previous tracks that we've already heard, you had some help in the musical side?
No, the previous two I did myself.
Right.
But the next one after this, Alison arranged for me as well.
Okay, so let's hear Could It Be?
Suffers there for what you've done. plan. All my fallenness and shame, He is filling all our pain, dying there for you and me. The Son of God, could this be? The Son of God, how can it be? The Son of God, how can he be?
Right, Emily, could I ask you a wee bit more about Adelaide College and your particular role within it? You said you're a lecturer?
Yeah, I teach evangelism, drama, schools ministry, and I oversee sort of the students who need a little bit of help, like learning support and things like that. So I take them for the tutor group. So that's quite a long job because we often work right into the evenings. We go over every single lecture that they've had to make sure they get it, because the college isn't about academics as much as a call on your life. You know, sometimes we have people who are called, they feel they're called to go into the missionary society or onto the missionary field. Some people just want a change in their life, you know, so we don't sort of say, what qualifications have you got? More as, you know, why are you coming to train for the Lord's service?
Basically, you'll take any Christian who wants to learn more for further service.
Yes, definitely.
And you're not associated with one denomination? Or?
No, we're interdenominational.
And where do you get your students from?
Gosh, all over the place. We've had some that perhaps were ex-alcoholics and ex-drug addicts, and then we've had some that are university graduates. A few years ago, we had one that was quite high up. Not BMW, Rolls-Royce. He was an engineer for Rolls-Royce, and he felt the call of God on his life and came into college. We've had Africans, Ghanaians, people from all over, Americans, everybody really. So it's anybody who feels the call of God on their life. And usually we meet them at meetings when we go around doing missions in different churches and things. But quite often nowadays with the internet, we'll get applications over the internet. And then we'll obviously usually meet the person before and interview them and things like that, just to make sure, because the college course is quite a hard course as well. So if you're not really called and putting yourself into it, you won't want to stay after the first month.
Yeah, it's quite a melting pot of different cultures and backgrounds.
Yeah,
different beliefs, and it must be quite interesting life.
It is, yeah, it is.
Because they stay in at the college, don't they?
Yes, they do, particularly in the first and second year. But then sort of towards the second year, some people get flats and things like that. The reason for that is my dad always felt, and the founders of the college, it was good for Christians to live. Everybody has their own separate accommodation and things, but to live together and to sort of have a family life as well. And it sharpens you up as a Christian as well, because it's not easy to live together. And so, you know, when iron sharpens iron, we often have different conflicts, and you have to learn grace and compassion and forgiveness and all these different things.
Yeah, it struck me going into the college, the communal fellowship. Mm-hmm. There's not many places now in our society where you can meet with total strangers and live quite intimately for a period of time. Halls of residence as a student are the nearest I can think of, but they're a mixed blessing at times.
Mm-hmm.
Families can be good or bad experiences. Mm-hmm. So this is an artificially created family.
Yeah.
And you have a corporate feeling.
Yes, we do, yeah.
Well, our next song has the title Rainbow, and I suppose you are the rainbow people, huh?
Yeah, well, one of the signs that God gave my dad when he founded the college was the rainbow. And of course, I mean, we know that's a picture of a promise in the Bible, God will never flood the earth. But it's been so significant through all the events of the college. There's always seems to be a rainbow in the sky whenever we need. We might be praying for thousands of pounds, and you'll come out the prayer meeting, there's a rainbow. And we always see it as God's promise. But for myself, I had an auntie who had cancer, and she passed away. And she was, I used to call her my rainbow lady, because she was just fun, personified. And then when my father passed away, I sang this song often at that point, because he was sort of my rainbow man. I had a very good relationship with my dad, and I was very close to him. And God promised me through both situations that no matter what happens, he would never change, you know, and he would always be eternal and always be there. And funnily enough, at the end of my dad's valedictory service, I came out of the church to wave my uncle off, and a rainbow appeared in the sky as I waved, and it was the most brightest rainbow I'd ever seen, and then disappeared as my uncle drove off. And I knew that God was reminding me, you know, I will never change.
So let's hear the rainbow.
Red and yellow and pink and green, orange and purple, such blue. You have put them in a bowl for me, 'cause you're with me. Across the sky at night, there's the moon, the stars, which show in my dark, you're there. And then the sun by day, standing in its light, Lord, I know that you still care. So if I ever feel I'm on my own, or looking round I find I'm all alone, don't need to very far to find my Saviour's love. I just lift my head and look above. So if I ever feel I'm find my Saviour's love, I just lift my head and look. I look at red and yellow and pink and green, at orange and purple, such them in a bowl for me, 'cause you're with me whatever I do. Across the sky at night, there's the moon, the stars, which show in my dark, Saviour's love. I just lift my head and look at red and yellow and pink and green, at orange and purple, such blue. For the sky declares the glory of my God, His story, His grace, and His love.
So I'm just hearing from you in between tracks here that you've written quite a number of songs.
Yeah, it must be roughly either 600 or just over by now.
600?
Yeah, because from the age of 12, almost every day I write at least one song, and some days it can be up to two, three songs, like I said.
I remember recently I asked you to sing at the church at 2 o'clock, and you wrote a song and you sung it at 7:30.
That's right, yeah.
It blew my mind, that. So you've written 600, and you've recorded some of these?
Yes, I've recorded about 100 of them and produced a CD with 30 of them on. Usually when I write them, they'll be on like envelope backs or scrap pieces of paper, receipts, things like that, because it can be anywhere. I can be out shopping and a song will come to me and I'll scribble it down very, very quickly and then go home and put the guitar backing to it.
So I was going to ask you, what do you see the future holding for you? But I'm thinking you're going to get a record label or something. That's not the phrase now, record label, the CD label, is it? But do you see your future as lecturing at the college or singing?
I would love it to be in singing. I'd love to have a record label and things like that. But I've never had that amount of confidence in my songs. So I've usually kept them. I've sung a few of them at different meetings and when I've been asked, and sought the Lord for meetings. Quite often if someone asks me to sing, I'll seek the Lord and say, is there a song you want me to sing? Which is what happened with your service. And I felt the Lord give me that song for the service. But I've really just focused on what I do at the college, because I've known that's where God's wanted me to be. So really the future for me is wherever He leads and whatever comes next. Mm. And the next song actually goes along with that, because it thanks the Lord for everything He's done for me and everything He's going to do as well.
Well, we're going to hear that as our finale. So can I just say thank you, Emily, for coming.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, remember, you heard her first on 3TFM, undiscovered talent, about to go places, starting right here in Saltcoats. So this is thank you, and thank you once again.
Thank you, Pastor Alex.
All to me, how can I thank you?
predestined me.